For our next hour, I am honored to have on our show Mr. Arthur Furstenberg. Mr. Furstenberg is a scientist and a journalist who is at the forefront of a global movement to tear down the taboos surrounding electromagnetic pollution and expose the health hazards of cell phone use. After graduating Phi Beta Kappa from Cornell University with a degree in mathematics, he attended the University of California Irvine School of Medicine from 1978 to 1982. Injury by an X-ray overdose cut short his medical career. For the past 34 years, he has been a researcher, consultant, and lecturer on the health and environmental effects of electromagnetic radiation, as well as a practitioner of several healing arts. He is the author of The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life, and he is also the author of Microwaving Our Planet, The Environmental Impact of the Wireless Revolution, published by the Cellular Phone Task Force, of which he is the founder. And I'll just mention here, the Cellular Phone Task Force is a nonprofit membership organization. It was founded in July of 1996 in response to the health and environmental threats posed by the launch of the wireless revolution in the U.S. Since 1996, the task force has provided a global clearinghouse for information about wireless technology's injurious effects and a national support network for people injured or disabled by electromagnetic fields. Mr. Furstenberg is currently preparing an international scientist's appeal to stop 5G technology use on Earth and in space. Arthur, welcome to Green Medicine. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, great. Really honored to have you on the show today. Tell
Thank
us
you.
How you got interested in this really important subject.
I was injured by an overdose of dental x-rays back in 1980. At the time, I was in medical school myself, and I was having my first root canal, and I had no idea of the dangers of root canals, but it affected my health really badly, and I went back to the dentist and had the procedure redone several times and full mouth x-rays. It was a series of something like 40 to 50 x-rays in the course of a summer. And during the last series, as I was sitting in the dentist chair, he turned on the x-ray machine one last time, and I felt something shift in the back of my head, and I felt an electric current go through me from head to my toes. And the next morning when I went back into the hospital for my medical rounds, I could feel electric currents from every single piece of electrical equipment in the hospital. And that changed my life totally.
Oh, my gosh. So you were unable to go back to where you were training?
I tried to stick it out, and a few months later, I was forced by ill health to take a leave of absence, and subsequently got the root canal tooth pulled out to my tremendous relief. But when I went back to school in the following September, I was still electrically sensitive and am to this day. And I collapsed one day a few months later with all the symptoms of a heart attack and quit school to save my life.
How?
In 1982, in February, is when I finally left school. I was 1 year short of my MD.
So it took you a while to regain your health. And
it took me 3 years to regain my health totally.
Uh-huh.
At that time, 1984, there was not a whole lot of electrical pollution in the general environment. The hospital was a special case environment. The tremendous number of pieces of electrical equipment and radio frequency equipment and ultrasound equipment, all sorts of stuff. But out in the real world, we didn't have cell phones. We barely had computers. It was a totally different world, and yes, I was able to regain my health totally. But that changed in 1996 when digital cell phones came to America and started to be sold, and cell towers started to be built everywhere. And I am a refugee from New York City, where I was living until 1996, and left again to save my life.
Hmm.
And I started to become an expert in 1980 because they were not teaching us this in medical school.
Sure.
So I went to our medical school's library. I was at UC Irvine in California.
Mm-hmm.
And found shelves, many shelves worth of books on the health and biological effects of electromagnetic radiation. And I wondered how come this very important and apparently well-known subject was not being taught to us. And so I've been researching it since that time.
Yeah, I bet this is one of the most underdiagnosed health issues that people never hear about. It's just amazing. And I know I've had patients come to our clinic and talk about that sensitivity. Maybe you could talk briefly about the differences between, say, being near your computer or your TV versus the cell phone.
Yeah. Before I do that, I have a comment for the woman who called just before the break with the nosebleeds.
Ah.
Because sudden onset of nosebleeds in someone who's never had them before is a frequent symptom of increased exposure to RF radiation. And I hear this all the time from, like, they built antennas on a person's apartment building roof and suddenly they have nosebleeds, or cell tower very close to their house. So that's something else for this woman to evaluate whether anything in her immediate environment has changed with that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully she's still listening. Well, tell us about your new book. Is it mainly directed towards the public or towards health professionals or both?
It's both. It's directed at the public and health professionals and scientific researchers. It contains all of the technical science explained in plain English. So that not only plain English, but entertaining English, so mm-hmm. that it is highly accessible to the general public. Yeah, you asked me another question about the difference between TVs, computers, cell phones. TVs and computers do not intentionally emit radiation, whereas that's the way cell phones work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a wireless device of any sort, if you have a cell phone, wireless internet, wireless keyboard, wireless mouse, wireless speakers, anything quote-unquote wireless, that's emitting radio frequency radiation. And that is, and it's intentional. So whereas you can reduce your exposure to all these other pieces of equipment by proper engineering and screening, that's the way cell phones work. In order to have a cell phone, you're being deliberately irradiated, and it's very unhealthy.
How would you compare cell phone use compared to just general background radiation that occurs in nature?
Good question. It's hard to compare because a cell phone operates within a very relatively narrow range of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
But if you consider the radio frequency spectrum, which it's getting higher and higher. 5G is going to be using millimeter waves all the way up to 9500 gigahertz. But generally what we've been using so far is down in the 1 and 2 and 3 and 5 gigahertz range. In that range, the current average exposure to the public is something like 10 million times what it is in nature. And the FCC's limit is something like 10 billion times what exists in nature. So we are being totally blasted. There's a story that was told by a Russian scientist, and it's true. I figured it out, and he was telling the absolute truth. If Neil Armstrong had taken a cell phone to the moon, it would have appeared on Earth to be the brightest single object in the universe, next to the sun, in the radio frequency spectrum.
Really?
There is so little RF radiation that comes from the universe. The astronomers at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory and at various other radio observatories have to have absolute radio quiet, because the strength of the signals are, 10 to the minus 22nd, 23rd, 24th watts per square centimeter, which is a quadrillion times less than the electromagnetic pollution. So there's a law in place that says that the NRAO, the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in West Virginia, no cell phones and no cell towers are allowed to be aimed in that direction. No cell phones, no Wi-Fi. If the observatory detects any interference whatsoever, they can go to somebody's house and tell them to shut it off.
How does the radiation from a cell phone differ from a cell tower? Is it just as dangerous?
Closer to your head. And the intensity of the radiation drops off exponentially as the square of the distance. So if you have a cell phone 1 inch from your head and a cell tower 1,000 feet from your head, you're getting astronomically more radiation from your phone than from that tower.
So your phone is drawing that radiation to your head just by holding it?
Well, the phone is emitting radiation. The phone emits up to 2 watts of radiation. And if you do the mathematics, you're getting exposed to 1,000 times more radiation than a relatively distant cell tower, depending on the distance and the power, but you get the idea.
Yeah. And what are the most common medical or physiologic effects with this?
Well, there are acute effects and there are chronic effects. The acute effects, which have so many of us labeled as electrically sensitive, dizziness, nausea, headaches, pressure and pain in the chest, joint pains, as I said, insomnia, memory difficulties, difficulty with concentration, as I mentioned earlier, nosebleeds, and actually bleeding in other parts of the body. But the most common manifestation is nosebleeds.
Interesting. So how...
flu-like symptoms.
Yeah. That are fairly constant.
And then there are the chronic effects, which include cancer, diabetes, heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
In children, you have it's contributing to the autism epidemic and ADHD.
Mm-hmm. So I know you're the founder of the Cell Phone Task Force. Is the word getting out? Do you feel like you're gaining some allies in the international community against these?
Well, actually more in the international communities than in the United States.
I'm not surprised.
Most of the best research was funded by the U.S. military and done in the United States between about 1960 and about 1980, when it was discontinued. And since about 1980, there's been precious little research done in this country. Most of it's been foreign. 5G in particular, which people have probably heard of, 5G and the Internet of Things are getting a lot of attention nowadays. There have been articles. The first article in a popular magazine was in The Nation a couple of months ago, and then there's been more recent articles in more mainstream venues, like Newsweek just came out with an article a week or two ago, among our circles, there's increasing unity that we've got to stop 5G from coming. There's a large phone call tomorrow, for example, organized by the Maryland, the Stop Smart Meters Association in Maryland. I expect probably 100 activists on the call to brainstorm about where to go from here. And each of us is doing our part. And some of the other things that I'm involved in, there's a committee that I was recruited to in Europe, the other members of the committee on Europe, and we are organizing, I think I heard you say, an international appeal to stop 5G on Earth and in space. And I've been devoting my time to almost nothing but that in the last couple of months. We're about to launch it.
So I can hear my listeners wondering if, you know, some of the symptoms they're experiencing that are chronic could be related to their cell phone. Is there a way to test this? Or do we have to go somewhere very isolated?
The easiest way to test it is to take the battery out of your phone, if you can still do that, which you can't anymore in a lot of the new phones. Either that or turn it off and put it in a metal pot so the radiation doesn't get out. Because even when it's off, if the battery's got in it, there's circuitry in it that's live and it's still radiating to some extent. But if you really want to test it out, turn off all the wireless equipment in your house. So take the battery out of your phone, unplug your Wi-Fi modem and router, disconnect anything else wireless, unplug your computer, even unplug your TV, because newer TVs have circuitry that's live as long as they're plugged in. Just disconnect everything. You'll sleep better, you'll wake up feeling better in the morning, and you'll start to realize what symptoms might be connected to it.
Yeah.
Although, yeah.
How far away from your neighbors do you have to be?
Well, this is the problem. But for most people, their biggest radiation exposure comes from within their house, from their own devices.
Yeah.
So yeah. Usually you can tell the difference in a fairly short amount of time.
So, Arthur, I need to take a quick break.